I want us to gather under the stars again. One of my favorite places anywhere to gather under the stars. Sort of take a look one more time at the Creator. Being really in a sense awestruck by what we see in the grandeur of the creation itself. I've come up to the conclusion, the same real conclusion that was come up, decided by the ancients from long ago, who wrote some things down and penned them for us thousands of years ago, but that there is a Creator God. He had His hand in all of creation. I see evidences of it everywhere I go, all the time. For me, it's a reality. Maybe not for everybody else in the world, but no question about it. There is a Creator God. This God is a personal God. He's personal in nature, reaching out in that personal way to us. And I could see evidences of that in my life and in other people's lives. But that I'm the shining highlight of God's eternal creation. The pinnacle of it. Nothing special about me other than the fact that God is the way He designed it that way. But there's this very important point. If I seek God, He can be known. He wants to be known. He's ready to be known. Those truths are foundational for my life. They're foundational for our lives. If we really, no matter who we are, no matter where we come from, no matter if we speak Korean or English or Spanish or German or Russian or Thai or any other language under the heavens, any other language on this planet, those foundational truths are good for all times. And we can build our lives on those. One of the problems I have is, though, when I stand under the stars or sit under the stars at night on a beautiful night, I wonder to myself this very important question, probably one that you've wondered yourself. If it's all so beautiful and so incredible and so vast and so unbelievably amazing in every way, indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the skies and you know them by name, you are the Creator God of all things. What went so terribly wrong? Where did the wheel fall off? I mean, I see the beauty of all creation. In fact, in one moment, I'm so awestruck by the grandeur of it all. Literally. I mean, I don't know about you, but I really, there are times when my breath is taken away by the beauty of the creation, and the hand of the Creator that it took to make that happen. I'm so awestruck. And I will, a side note to all this is, if you're not awestruck by that, then you're not stopping long enough to look. It's incredible what is around us. I'm totally awestruck by that, but at the same time, when I get so amazed by all of creation, I'm at the same time get so depressed about what I see around me. There's so many things that feel wrong. They feel out of place. It's pretty depressing. I see the obvious hand of the Creator in one sense, and I turn around and recognize there's something terribly missing in all of it. So the real big question of why comes up. You know, why do I look up and see the indescribable and amazing details of creation? In fact, the more I explore science and the more I explore the ins and outs of people who are trying to figure out the minute details, you kind of come to realize that they're only like really barely scratching the surface of it all. I'm actually more amazed. I'm just more amazed at the intricate detail of it all. And yet, I look down after seeing the creation itself and watching the fall colors of this season of the year right now, or the spring flowers of the tulips or whatever it is. I see that in all its grandeur and beauty, and the stars itself in its grandeur and beauty. And yet, I look down and around me I see poverty. I see crime. I see abuse. I see ugly. Why? Why do I in one moment see amazing consistency of the creation? The sunrise and the sunset are incredibly predictable. We know how it's going to flow. We know in the seasons of the year when the sunrise is going to be and when it's going to set. We now can have that calculated out. How? Why? Because it's unbelievably consistent. It's right on the money. I'm amazed by tides. I can get a tide chart out, and I'm blown away by the tides that come and go. And we can go. I can put a calendar on my refrigerator that shows me what time low tide and how far out it will be. And with amazing accuracy, we can predict that. Why? Because we're so special? No, but because the creation itself is so consistent. But yet, out of all that incredible consistency around me, I just feels like that order itself turns into chaos, and everything seems to fall apart in the conditions of the world around me. Why? Why do I love a good rain shower at the right moment? Love it when it feels like it sort of blesses the earth. My mother was telling me that in Texas this summer, when there was in such great drought, when it actually rained, they all ran outside and let that rain fall down, and a bunch of people just stood outside like Shawshank Redemption, right? That scene. And he stood outside and just went, "Thank you, God, for the rain that falls." That's pretty much the way you and I feel, right? About November, December, right? But thank you, God, for that rain that falls. And really, seriously, why do we feel it sometimes, no kidding, that rain just feels like an incredible blessing? And yet, in the wrong context at the wrong time, too much rain destroys. Cities are flooded. Houses are ruined. People are killed. Why? There's inconsistency there, isn't there? Why do we, when we see a child, a while ago I was playing with a little baby in our church, and she just feels the love of a parent. She just feels it. She knows it. It's inherent in her. It's a part of her DNA. When people pass her around and give her kisses and love her and hug on her, and boy, she knows her mommy and she knows her daddy. You feel that sense of closeness there. You feel that joy, that connection there that just... It's like the planets all line up properly at that moment. We've all had that feeling, right? When you feel that closeness of a parent, and yet it almost feels like on this hand we feel so close, and in this hand we look around us and realize how much dysfunction there is. How many children are in places where they are not loved, where they are not cared for, and they feel it. They know it. You go to an orphanage, and they scream out for the love of a parent. I know many orphans, true orphans, especially overseas, that I work with. And you can see the mark in their life that is missing because nobody ever really cared for them that way that little baby this morning felt. Why? Why is it so different in a world where the stars and the planets are lined up so beautifully and we see the hand of the Creator Himself? Why is it that we see powerful people who we bless with power? We usually in our world, in our democratic kind of world, we bless them with the ability to be influential. We vote on them to take positions of power. We hire them to take positions of power. And we do that because we feel like they have the ingredients in their life that are able to influence people in proper fashion. School teachers, coaches, governors, senators, presidents. You can go beyond that and talk about kings and queens of history and emperors of history. Why is it that we place these coaches and these teachers in these places? Because they have all the marks of doing things right, and many times, maybe even most of the time, they do so well at it. And then we turn around and we find out that coach that we had such great pride in, such great trust in, was in a shower abusing children at a university. And we are unbelievably disgusted by that. We are ashamed for not only that person, but ourselves for putting them in the position allowing them to do that. How can those two things coincide on the same glorious planet? How? Well, it's not even really just about them, the world out there. You know that same disgust That same sense of frustration is also apparent in your life and in my life? Why is it, how is it that I can have such good intentions, such incredibly good intentions about things, and I can come along at a season of time and say, I am going to do right. I'm going to do right by my parents. I'm going to do right by my spouse. I'm going to do right by my children. I'm going to do right by my boss. I'm going to do right by my community. I'm going to do right by my neighbors. I'm going to do right, be right. I'm going to do right by God. I'm literally going to do things well, do things right, and I'm going to start lining up my life in a consistent fashion, much to match the consistency of the planets and the universe and the tides and the sunrise and the sunset. And I'm going to, by good intention and design, going to do things well. And we really do mean it. We don't usually start a marriage saying, I don't. We say, I do till death do us part. I want and will do things right. And we well mean it. But we start down that path and nobody knows the war that is raging within my soul. Because the moment I make a promise, the moment I have a good intention, the moment I move forward in that way, then on the flip side of that, in that very same time, there's this dark side of me that sits down in my soul and my gut and my heart, and I very secretly sort of pass it away and try to shade over it or do other kinds of things because I'm afraid to let everybody know that, quite frankly, I'm on the verge of really falling off the wagon, letting the wheel fall off. That's you and I, isn't it? How can those two be lined up in the same body? How is it that the stars can decorate and adorn the whole universe in such a beautiful lined up way, and yet in my soul of souls, I feel so separated, so removed from it from time to time? It's pretty overwhelming, isn't it? That question of what's missing in me. What is missing in me? That's what's the question. You know, I can talk about everything else, the planets and the universe and why cultures and nations and wars take place, but the truth is that war is as real in my soul and your soul as it is in any country, any culture, any place in the world. What is missing in me? That same question has been asked by the ancients. The ancients from long ago that we've been talking about. You know, what is so amazingly, when you parallel it out, you're so amazed by the fact that even though these ancients, they didn't know as much as we knew, they didn't understand tides like we understand them, they didn't understand planets and universes and galaxies and biology and zoology and all the things that we have come to grasp and understand, and yet we have the exact same question that they had. What's missing in me? Because they felt it too. That is a completely cross-cultural question. It's true in Thailand, it's true in China, it's true in Japan, it's true in Russia, it's true in Afghanistan, it's true in Iran and Iraq, it's true in Egypt, it's true in the Sudan, it's true in the Horn of Africa, it's true in America, it's true in Canada, it's true in Brazil, it's true around the planet. What is missing in me? And these ancients, not only is it cross-cultural, but it's timeless, the question is. The ancients, thousands of years ago, used to sit back. These famous people that we look at, and they used to sit under the stars of the heaven and say, how? Why? What's missing? What's wrong? Well, through a revelation of the Almighty God, through that revelation that God instilled in their soul as they began to talk to that personal God, remember that we talked about the Creator God who is personal, who can be known once we seek Him, He made Himself known. And He revealed to the ancients a story. And this story is real. It's not a fake story. It's not a parable. It's not a fake one. It's not just a good idea. It's real. It's also your story. And I want to tell you that story. It's my story. It's really my story. I want to tell you this story that applies here. It was a beautiful, gorgeous day. It was a day like no other day. I mean, the sun shined at the right places in the right way, and life around me was just sort of breathed through everything. to the plants, the animals, and the things that were there. Everything was orderly. Nothing was wrong. There were no concerns. There were no cares. So physically, it was a beautiful day. Emotionally, it was a great day. I had no, you know, I had nothing to really distract me from anything except to be able to live life to its fullest. That's what kind of a day it was. It was a gorgeous day. And the truth is, I didn't really recognize that it was so gorgeous because every day was that way. It wasn't just that one day that I could call a good, beautiful Saturday. It was every day. In fact, I didn't really even have to really measure days in that sense, because there was consistency not just in the things around me, but there was consistency in me and in the relationships that I had. It was beautiful outside. It was beautiful inside. Everything was really lined up in that way. In fact, the word perfection would apply here. The word perfect is something that I've had to put a whole new meaning onto now, but in that time period, it was what it was. There was nothing but that. Things were right, always right. I didn't know what to compare it to. So if you said to me in those days, there was a time of imperfect, you would have to give me some kind of a definition, because I didn't have any measuring tool against perfection. Everything was right. There were no broken relationships. That's the best part of a time period, of that time period, is that relationships were right. That father relationship, that parenting relationship, that we always look to and say, oh my goodness, how wonderful, when it's at its best, how wonderful that was. That's what I felt. The relationship was always there. There was no need for a cross word. There was no need for a sense of brokenness, because it was right. There was no reason to even feel like it had to go wrong. In fact, there's an old expression that now I've kind of come to know, and we've all come to know, that says the Creator God is in the universe and all is right with the world. That described my world. That's where I was. You might even call it a garden, because it kind of was. But a real perfect garden. And a perfect garden means that when things needed to bloom, they bloomed. When the fruit was time to become ripe, it came ripe. And enough fruit came ripe that ripe in my life that I gained all of my sustenance from it. There was no need to search beyond that. Everything was there. It was just harmonious. It was real. It was right. It wasn't a fictitious time either. It's hard to say that it's ever been better, because it never has been better than that. It was a perfect day. It was a perfect life. The problem, I think, that happened to me was that I kind of assumed some things about perfection. You know, I probably assumed, in fact, I know, I assumed that again, I didn't have any definitions or I didn't have any reference point about imperfections, but I certainly understood perfection because that was the consistent part of my life. But I began to assume that perfection came because of who I was, if that makes sense to you. I started assuming that everything was right because of the things that I did. And I began to kind of think outside the box a little bit, or outside the lines. Nothing wrong with creativity, but this is more not creativity. This was a sense of moving beyond the fact that I thought maybe I was the creator himself a little bit. And then I could kind of live outside this certain lines. In fact, the Father came to me and said, "You are my special creation. You are the pinnacle of everything that I've wanted. I want you for a relationship. I want you because I want you. And I literally gave you everything and instilled in you everything. You're in my image."
But I'm going to ask you to do this one thing. Stay within this one boundary. Looking back on that, I realized that the boundary wasn't there for the Creator God to be mad at me or angry at me or anything else. He just recognized that if I wanted life, that He was the life giver. I wasn't the life giver. If I wanted real life, it had to come only from Him, because outside of Him, there was no real life. And the Creator God came and said, I'm going to put this boundary on you. And I'm going to tell you, don't go here. Now, I'm only telling you this because I have instilled in you a desire to follow me. But out of that too, this crazy thing that's called a choice that we still don't even really totally understand. And I still understand it. But this idea of the fact that I want you to love me because you want to love me. Not because you're forced into it. Not because you're roped into it anyway. But if you step outside this boundary and walk across this line and begin to try to gain life in your own way, to create yourself to be some kind of a creator also, then you have stepped over the line of life. Don't go there. Just don't go there. Well, my wife and I, who had a perfect relationship, we, in our own stupidity, I don't know, maybe it's arrogance. Maybe it was a sense of, I think in looking back on it, it was a sense of self-reliance. It was a sense that maybe these things had happened because I had actually achieved them. We had actually achieved them. You know, it was something we did, so we kind of felt like we didn't have to stay on those boundaries. Sure, there was temptation involved in it all. I mean, there was a temptation issue there, that it was an outside influence, a very evil influence that came and tempted us, but and that was real. But let's just be clear about this. I'm the one that made the choice. Nobody else made it for me. We made that choice. We stepped across the boundary. We took the thing that we were told to not go after, that was beyond the boundaries of what real life, because frankly, God, the Creator, knew that we couldn't handle it. We had no ability to handle it. We crossed the line. And, well, let me put it to you this way. It's amazing how that the creation itself was done in such an unbelievable way over who knows how long of a period of time, the vastness of space and the vastness of all things. And these things were just with intricate detail, were placed in its place, and all the things of this planet and the atmosphere and the worlds around us were all done in this incredible sort of a way. And in one fatal moment, the wheels fell off and everything changed. It took how long to make creation? And it took one choice, one really bad choice, to step over the line. And I've spent the rest of my life paying the price for it. It's not even really even me that paid the price for it. What I'm so ashamed of is that all of the generations past me pay the same price. They wrestle with the same darkness. They wrestle with the same issue. As soon as we made that choice, a separation happened. A dark hole developed. A chasm happened. I couldn't figure out how to cross it. It was real. It was there. It was obvious in me. It was even obvious physically when everything began to deteriorate around me. And all the generations past me just took it on themselves. Passed on and on and on. And the reason that it's so frustrating is because I know that I was created to live. There was a time when the Creator God came to me and He literally breathed the breath of life in me. And it wasn't just a physical breath that all of a sudden I began to come in and out. It was real life in my soul of souls. And now I understood what perfection and imperfection was. But I remember the breathing of that life in me and how real that was. And now that I don't have that perfection, I'm caught up in a whole new paradigm, a whole new world.
And in that same world, I'm clinging for life. I want life. Me and all of my descendants from this point forward, that's why we try hard not to die. That's why we want to live life to the fullest. That's why we're chasing everything under the sun, because we so badly know that instilled in me was a breath of real life back here in this time period. But the chasm is there. And a whole new vocabulary began to happen in my own life that I had never known before. Words like fear. Words like rejection. And separation. I'd never known that. Or pain. Not in my vocabulary before. Depression. Shame. Lost. Sin. And then the biggest one of all, death. Never knew death. Never knew what that was. I was created for life. I was created for a relationship with the Creator God Himself. And I used to walk with that God, that Creator God. And now it was all lost. Is that the end of the story? Well, that story I just told is my story. It's also your story. It's a pathetic story. It shapes. Now think about this. Why am I taking time to deal with this on a Sunday morning? It's because I'm not sure we ever really come to complete grasp of the reality of this. Even for people who've been around God things in their life, they've been around church things, they've maybe heard stories before like this, and they understand some of the theological kinds of understanding, I'm quite certain that people don't grasp this story. I'm actually quite convinced you don't grasp this story. I mean, I'm serious. Even this room, no matter who you are, where you come from, I'm not sure you really understand the gravity of that story and how much of that story is your story. And how that it shapes your life and your decision making, my life and my decision making. And the people that I deal with in my world who are from different cultures of the world and different, there's from Asia and from Europe and Eastern Europe and other parts of the globe who come from different kinds of backgrounds than I do. I'm amazed at how they come and say, and I've had many of them even recently say, why is there this deep dark hole inside me and I don't understand why it's there? I'm convinced you don't know it either. Or at least the gravity, ultimately, of it all. But we know the hole is there, don't we? You know it's there. I know it's there. In fact, I think we react to that hole in our lives in different sorts of ways. I think some people in the world just choose to say, I don't care. And so I'm just going to pass on whatever results of it all. I'm just not going to care for now because I just can't. I can't handle it. And so if there are any results at the end of it all, I'm just going to deal with it then and not worry about it. Maybe I'm just going to avoid it. Or just pass it off as nothing. Or maybe I'll just mask it over. Maybe I'll mask it over by you know, I think what we call maybe doing really good deeds. I feel so bad about the hole in my heart and the chasm that's there and the separations that's there. If I start really doing good things, then I'll start at least feeling better. And it's just sort of weighing it out on a balance. And if I can get enough good things out there, I can feel better about myself than I do feel worse about myself. Or at least in a mastered way, because nobody really knows the darkness that's inside my soul. That's you. That's me. We mask it over. Or maybe if I do this, I just become a God myself. Maybe I just sort of change my understanding of the Creator and I start attaining some sort of a Godhood. And if I raise myself up high enough and become that God in a sense, then I can override any sense of failure. I could build a big enough pyramid out there to last for eternity. So that I can feel better about me. I can become my own God. Or maybe I'm just overwhelmed with the whole so much. In fact, I think this is where most of us in this room probably are. We're overwhelmed with that chasm and that darkness so much so that we spend the rest of our lives chasing the wind after anything that might make us feel just ever so slightly better. So we chase this diet. Or we chase this theology.
Or we chase this career. Or we chase this money path. Or we chase this physical activity in our life. Or we chase this, you know, these things that we want to sort of possess and put in our way. We are constantly in motion, ever, often, and always chasing after the wind of something to somehow mask over this dark spot that we know deep down in our souls is there. Or maybe we're just overwhelmed so much so that we finally recognize there's no hope. So we sort of walk the tightrope, we walk the plank, we live a depressed life, and we just go, it's all for nothing, make it over. That's the story of your life and our lives. But there is an answer. And I have one point for you this morning, and here it is. Don't you like these one-point sermons? The point is this. I like them, by the way. The point is this. Be awed by God and place your life at His feet. Be awed by God and place your life at His feet. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? Now, just think for a minute. We're sitting under the stars of the sky. And we recognize all the things that we've now walked through about the eternal things and the grand things of creation, but the hole in our life. And you're telling me that now what I really need to do is be awed by God. Yeah, here's kind of the way I mean that. The reality of our sin, the hole, the chasm that's there, it's very dark, it's very real. And again, you can explain it away, and the world can explain it away any way they want to, but we all know it's there. I actually don't even have to convince people of it. They know it. But we do spend... I'm amazed at how we, even those of us who maybe theologically might know better, we know it's there, but we are constantly so overwhelmed with the inadequacies of me that even we are awed by the sin of our life, and we chase after things that detour us in so many different directions instead of being awed by the only thing that matters, God. Does that sound simple enough? I was talking to a young lady just the other day, and she was talking to me about, I'm just so overwhelmed. She's a believer. She's a Christian. She says, I'm so overwhelmed with the inconsistencies of me. And I'm trying. I said, well, you know, I understand trying, and I believe that. But it might be that we need to be not awed by your sin, because it's already so ugly and awful. But God really wants us to be awed by Him and put our trust and our faith and totally in Him. Because your being awed by your sin is never going to overcome your sin. Your being awed by the separation that you know is there and is real is never going to bridge that separation. You being awed by the dark hole that you know is there is never going to put light into that hole. No matter if you spend your time being awed by you, your sin, your darkness, your separation, you will never look up long enough to recognize that the only thing that we're called to be awed by now, and the only thing we can be awed by now to make any difference, is to be awed by the Almighty God. Putting our trust and our faith in Him. Because the reality of my sin is real. God, forgive me. But God, let me put my faith, my hope, my trust in you. I just gave you something that, honest to goodness, I really feel this way. It's unbelievably profound. And you may say, well, I've already realized that. Well, good for you, because I'm having a hard time realizing it. I struggle with this. Be awed by God instead of by me. Instead of by the circumstances of my life. The same Creator who reached across the expanses of space and placed these planets in place is the same Creator that wants to awe you and is ready to say, I want you back. 2,000 years ago, on the clock, on the calendar, God Himself came to this earth is Jesus Christ, and He reached across time, space, cultures, and languages, and everything else, and He reached across this world, and He said, there is a dark hole inside of you that I know on your own that you can't be fulfilled, and you're being overwhelmed by it. But let me tell you, God cares. And I came here as God, but I came as a human being, and I'm the and Jesus Christ was the only perfect human being that has ever lived in that perfect harmonious relationship. And yet, and even though by vocabulary He understood and went through those words that we just went through, He did not deserve them, and ultimately He died a death on a cross of all things. And then on that Easter Sunday, He defeated death, and He said, all I'm saying is, be overwhelmed by Me. Trust Me. Put your life in My hands, and I can give you life. That's the creation. I pray that this story impacted you. I pray that you recognize how much of it is your story. It's not my, just my story. It is mine. It's also yours. But when you give your life to Christ, everything changes. Creation sings. The heavens and the earth declare the glories of God. So I pray that this morning that has happened to you. So I just pray that God has touched your heart this morning, and that you see the creation in a whole new way. Thank you, God, for the day. Thank you for the blessing of it all. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for life.